to the Chinese people. And while she was known by her friends growing up in Virginia and Georgia as petite, obviously because of her size, and later when she moved to China, she was known as stout or fleshy by the Chinese people there. And yet when she died, the steward who carried her body on board for her voyage home in 1912 said that she weighed no more than 50 pounds. While her official cause of death was dementia, she starved herself to death, not because she was on some self-sacrifice trip, but because she was concerned to give her food away to the Chinese in her province who did not have food themselves to eat. And so the reason we take the Christmas offering is because Lottie Moon knew what we need to remember. And that this offering we take in December reminds us of three very important truths I want to share with you briefly this morning. The first is that missions is at the very heartbeat of God. Missions is at the very heartbeat of God. When we begin talking about the Great Commission, which we all know and love, we always look at the great passage there in Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to look at that here in just a little bit. But we always look to that great passage, the last will and testament, if you will, of Jesus Christ found in Matthew chapter 28. But the Great Commission really is the very heartbeat, the very mission of God Himself is much older than Matthew. You see, the mission of God and the will of God cannot be separated. They are intrinsically linked together. The mission of God and the will of God cannot be separated from each other. They are linked. The will of God is what? The will of God is that we would know God and that we would make Him known. Boil it down, use whatever language you want. It's all boiled down to the fact that God wants us to know Him first, and then He wants us to make Him known. It continues to amaze me that the God of the universe, the creator, the sustainer of all that we possess, wants to have a relationship with you. That He wants to have a relationship with me. That He would want to have a relationship with any of us, and yet He does. Jesus said to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and to do what? Love your neighbor as yourself. So that is the will of God and the mission of God, to make Him known, to know Him, and to make Him known. That was the great apostle Paul's desire. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul said that he wanted to know God and the power of His resurrection, that he wanted to know who Jesus was. Matthew 11, 28 was the very heartbeat of Jesus Himself. Jesus said, I call all men to Myself. To learn of Me, to find rest in Me. That was Jesus' own words. I want everyone to come to Me and to know Me. In fact, He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw what? All men to Myself. I won't leave anybody out. If I will be lifted up, I will draw everyone who wants to come to Me to Myself. God, through the prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, said, seek Me and you'll find Me. You see, God's not into a guessing game. He wants to be known. He knows all about us, but He wants us to know all about Him. And He wants us to know that we can have a relationship with Him. He did not just create us and then spin us off to live our lives on our own. He breathed the breath of life into us and called us good and very good. As sinful as we are, God looked at us as His creation and said, they are good. And I want to have a relationship with them. So the God of creation is first and foremost a calling God. He calls everyone to Himself. There is no one that is left out of His call. He is calling the nations to Himself. He is calling the individuals, you and me. He's calling individuals. He's calling nations to Himself. To have a relationship with Him. And we have a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is all about. We we read Scripture and we lit the Advent candle, and we'll be doing that. We'll be drawing all of our attention every week to the Advent, the coming, the first Advent, the first coming of Jesus Christ. And what is that all about? About God stepping out of eternity into our time, according to John chapter 1, verse 14, and becoming one of us and dwelling among us so that what? We could behold His glory. So that we could see Him. So that we could have a relationship with Him. But not only is God a calling God, but God is a sending God. He calls us to Himself, and then He sends us out from Himself. He calls us to Himself, and then He sends us out. God is a calling and sending God. Those He calls, He also sends. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your vocation is. I don't care what your education level is. I don't care what your financial level is. God, if God has called you into a relationship with Himself, He has also called you to send you out. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you need to go out to the foreign mission field. It might mean that for some of you. It means that for Leanne and Allie, our missionaries in Africa. It means that for the 3,500-plus missionaries that are part of the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. God has called them to Himself, and then He is sending them out. But make no mistake, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, God has called Himself, called you to Himself for the purpose of sending you out. It may not be across the world, but it may be across the street. It may be down the street. It may be to your job. Not maybe, it is. It is to across the street. It is to down the street. It is to your job. It is to wherever you go. He is ascending God. He is calling us and He is sending us. You see, the Great Commission and the first missionary is much older than Matthew chapter 28. Look with me to Genesis chapter 12. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord said to Abraham, "Go out from your land, your relatives, your father's house, the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." Now that was specific to Abraham. But it is also spoken to us as His people. We just celebrated Thanksgiving. And what is Thanksgiving about? It's not just about turkey. It's about recounting the blessings of God in our life. Why has God done that for you? Why has He given you anything He's giving you? So that you might tell others about what He's done for you. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are called to call others to Himself. The whole reason that God called Abraham to Himself by faith, the same way He calls every single one of us to Himself, is by faith, through a faith relationship with Him. He calls us to Himself so that He could send out Abraham. That's what it's all about. Being called so that we can go. And Lottie Moon understood that. This 4'3", stout, fleshy woman. She understood that missions is the very heartbeat of God. She understood that God had given her so much in her life, and that her relationship with Jesus Christ was not something that she could keep to herself, but that she must share it. And so off to China she went for 39 years. Never married, never had children, gave her life to the Lord. Now, just because you give your life to the Lord doesn't mean you can't get married, doesn't mean you can't have children. That was her choice. But she gave her life to the Lord. She was called, she knew God, and she was wanting to make Him known. And as much as missions is a heartbeat of God, missions is also much more. The second thing I want to share with you this morning is that mission should be the heartbeat of every believer. Every follower of Jesus Christ, mission should be your heartbeat. We know the scene well, don't we? There, The disciples are waiting for Jesus, the Bible says, on the mountain in Matthew chapter 28. Standing on the mountain waiting to hear a word from the Lord. They had seen him. They had spoken with him after he rose from the dead. And now given them, as I said, his last will and testament. Listen to what the Lord said. Matthew chapter 28, beginning of verse 16. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, I love this. And when they saw him, they worshiped. But some doubted. They worshiped, but some doubted. And Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now look what's going on there. His disciples, people who have lived and ate and slept with Jesus for 3.5 years, are gathered there. And the first thing that catches my attention in this passage is that in the midst of their worship, they doubted. In the midst of their worship, they doubted. I describe some of you. You're here, but you have struggles. You're here, and you have some doubt. In the midst of the worship, in the midst of this great anticipation of what God was going to do next, because they didn't know. In the midst of the anticipation of what God was going to do next through them was what? Doubt. Listen, friends, don't discount your doubt. Don't discount your doubt. Don't let your doubt detour you, and don't let your doubt destroy you, but don't discount it. Embrace it. It's okay to doubt. You're in good company. The disciples doubted. They were worshiping the Lord, but they had struggles. They had questions. They had some things going on in their life. It is possible to follow, and it is possible to believe and still doubt. So what does Jesus do? You see, he knows. He knows their struggle. He knows your struggle. He knows you're here, but he knows you've got questions. He knows you're here, but he knows you've got issues. He knows you're here, but he knows that you have some doubts going on in your life. And so what does he do? He dispels the doubt. He dispels it. He tells them, don't worry. The project I'm giving you is a God-sized project. But see, you have to understand, disciples, that this is not your mission. And so if I'm going to call you into my mission, I'm going to give you everything you need for my mission. He says, don't worry about it. He knows it's a God-sized task, but he is confident in them. Do you realize that? Do you realize that Jesus Christ has confidence in you to fulfill the commission? Jesus Christ has confidence in me. He has confidence in this church, Northside Baptist Church, to help fulfill the Great Commission. He wouldn't have told it to them if he didn't think they could handle it. He has great confidence in you, and great confidence in me, and great confidence in our in this church. Because he's sending them out in their own energy, in their own strength, in their own strategy. He was sending them with his authority, his power, his strategy. Go. And that simply means as you go. As you're going to school, as you're going to work, as you're going to the grocery store, as you're going to the beauty shop, as you're going to wherever you go, build relationships. It doesn't say make converts. There's a place for that. But one of the things I love about our International Mission Board at the Southern Baptist Convention is that they don't just go and make converts. They go and they build relationships. They go and they disciple. They baptize. They spend time with people, teaching them, building that relationship. And that's what Jesus calls us to do. You see, we can fill the Great Commission if we realize in whose authority we are going out. It's not in my authority. It's not in your authority. It's not even our own church's authority. It's in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. Because it's not my mission. It's not your mission. It's not our mission. It's God's mission. And He backs it with His authority. Now, that doesn't mean that it will be easy. It doesn't mean that it will be quick. It doesn't mean that it will be convenient or without problems. I mean, we see that. We hear it all the time from our missionaries, whether in Africa or our IMB. There are huge obstacles out there. But you see, God's got their back. God can take care of it. And so not many days from this event right here in Matthew chapter 28, not very many days, He gives it to them again. In Acts chapter 1, He says, "Go and be my witnesses. Start right here where you are in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and then to Judea, and then to the uttermost parts of the world." That's His strategy. You see, the Great Commission, missions cannot be your heartbeat over there, and it cannot be our church's heartbeat over there if missions is not our heartbeat right here. You know, if God would just send me, God's not going to send you over there if you're not doing what you need to be doing right here. And that's why we give to missions as a church. That's why we try to increase our mission budget. That's why we give about 14% of our income to missions, which for a church of our size is fantastic. I have pastor friends. You know pastors talk. We share stories about what our churches are doing. When I tell pastors, just a little bit of godly pride, what we do in missions, they're like, "Really? Really?" Because it's part of our heartbeat. It's what we long for. To see people come to faith, to do missions. And so not many days from here, he gives them a second commission. Start here in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the othermost parts of the world. And then a few more days from there, what happened? And plopped right down beside the Ethiopian eunuch. And he shares the gospel with him. And the gospel does what? It goes back to Africa. Probably the very first time the gospel went to Africa, when I was in Mozambique. August, and I was teaching on my assignment for the week in the School of Discipleship was to teach the Great Commission. And I talked about Philip. And I told him, "Do you realize that your being here, you're sitting right here in Marimeu, Mozambique, Africa, is a result of this story in Acts chapter 8 where Philip went to the Ethiopian eunuch and the Ethiopian eunuch took the gospel back to Africa." It's amazing. And so that's what he did. And then not many days from there, you remember Peter. Do you remember that rooftop experience that Peter had? You see, Peter's like many of us. He didn't quite get the commission. Oh, you mean Jesus? All the Jews deserve to have the gospel. People who believe like me, people who look like me, people who act like me, people who worship like me, people who do all the things like I do. And three times when that sheet came down and the Lord told Peter in Acts chapter 10, "Rise, kill, and eat." And he said, "No way, Lord, that is unclean stuff. I'm not touching it." And God corrected him on the issue. He said, "Don't call what I've called clean, unclean." In other words, the gospel's for everyone, Peter. And that's what he said. Not just people that look like us or act like us or think like us, but for people who are different from us. In fact, Peter went on to say in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, "Now I truly understand. Now I truly rightly understand that God doesn't show favoritism, but in every nation, the person who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. God doesn't show partiality. That's us. We show favoritism, but not God. God wishes that everyone would come to the knowledge of his Son. And that word nation that Jesus uses in Acts chapter 28, and that word nation that Peter uses here that Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 28, and the word nation that Peter uses here in Acts chapter 10, that means every language. Don't think nations with boundaries and borders. It means every culture, every tribe, every tongue, every nation. It means everybody. Everybody. You see, this is not just about countries, but it's about people. People of every belief system, of every language, of every culture, of every custom, of every tradition, and on and on and on. And then, as the story of the Great Commission continues, we see in Acts chapter 17 that this small band of disciples who doubted, are coming into town, and word comes just before them, and the word is, these disciples who have turned the world upside down are coming here. They doubted, then they're turning the world upside down for Jesus Christ. Don't discount your doubt. God can and will work through your doubt if you will give it to Him. And that can be us. It's about going. But not just about going over there, it's about going everywhere, going anywhere, across the street, to work, on. It should be our heartbeat. When Jesus said, go, therefore, it means as you live your life, share His everlasting life. As you live your life, share about His everlasting life, His abundant life. With people there, and it's the heartbeat of God, and so it should be the heartbeat believer, follower of Jesus Christ, that we would, as we live our life, we share about His life. And you know, as much as Lottie Moon understood that missions was the heartbeat of God and that missions was her heartbeat and needs to be the heartbeat of every single follower of Jesus Christ, whether we go there or whether we stay here, she understood that she could not do it alone, and neither can we. So the third truth I want to remind you this morning is that missions connects us to something bigger than our own church, bigger than our own life. I want you to hear that word again. It's the theme verse of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering this year. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And after this I looked, and there was a multitude from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, which no one could number, standing before the throne, before the Lamb. And they were clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and they cried out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." Now, do you think that verse right there is made possible just by Northside Baptist Church? Not a chance. Not a chance. See, Lottie Moon struggled for years to get people to understand the need in China. And the reason we take this offering every year in December is because of Lottie Moon. Lottie Moon was known probably most for her work in China, but she was known secondly for the thousands of letters she wrote through the years back here to the States in the late 1800s, on up into her death, pleading for people to give to missions. In fact, there's a book you can buy that has many letters from Lottie, I believe, and you can read many of her letters. I've got a great book in my office if you ever want to borrow it, called The Lottie Moon Story. It's not a biography, but it's a biography, not an autobiography. It's a great book. It talks about the thousands of letters that she wrote over all those years back to the mission board of the foreign mission board of the Southern Baptist Convention, pleading for help in missions. And then she asked the churches of the U.S. to take an offering at Christmas time to send, and that's how we got the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And that's how we fund 3,500 plus missionaries, both long term and short term, is through this offering. And our goal this year, as Betty mentioned, is $3,600. Although if somebody wants to give $32,000, you can do it. But our goal is $3,200. Now, compared to $163 million, why bother? Right? In comparison to $165 million, which is the goal for the Southern Baptist Convention, that is nothing. But see, here's the beauty of what we're doing today and all this month. I don't want you to lose this. Here's the beauty of what we are doing. You see, the gospel going to the ends of the earth is not just dependent on us. And yet, it is. You've heard me say before, what did you do in church today? We helped change the world. That's what you do. You see, it's not dependent just on us, and yet it is. It is dependent upon us doing our part along with the 45,000 plus churches of every shape, every size, every worship style, every music style, every preaching style, churches that meet in coffee shops, churches that meet under the bridge, churches that meet in the park, churches that meet out in the bush, under the bush, churches that meet in cathedrals. We have churches of every flavor in the Southern Baptist Convention. And as we pool our resources together, we help fulfill the Great Commission. And we help share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because reaching the world for Jesus Christ is not going to be done by us, and yet it is. Reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ is not going to be done by Second Baptist Church and Ed Young of Houston. It's not going to be done by First Baptist Church and Greg Mott of Houston, and yet it is. I know Greg Mott personally, and he would tell you as surely as I'm telling you, it's not about what First Baptist can do, it's about what we all can do together. Reaching the world together. Because the task is too big for any one church, no matter how big their budget is, no matter how much they give to offering to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, they can't do it alone. It's done by our denomination and churches outside of our denomination working together to reach the world. And so alone by ourselves, we can feel helpless about reaching this hopeless world. But you see, when we pull our resources together with the resources of other churches of every size and ethnicity and worship style and preaching style, with the changeless message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is that God loves them and wants a relationship with them, and He provided an opportunity for that relationship to be possible through His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for their sins, for your sins, for my sins, and for the sins of the entire world. That is something to get excited about. That is something to give to. It is a doable and possible. It is doable and possible to change the world and to pierce the darkness of this world when we pull together to fulfill the Great Commission. And so that, beloved, is why we take a Lottie Moon Christmas offer.